Blog Talk Radio.
Salvation is to everyone, and we want to make sure everyone understands that.
that we are dealing with a sin-sick world, but we're dealing with a sin-sick people who are scattered amongst all the nations of the world. And Yah is waking us up and telling us who we are, but we are not really dealing with the root cause of our problems. This word, well, let us do this first. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads, the men to uncover their heads. Let us turn toward the east, toward Jerusalem. King Solomon has prayed to the Most High concerning us. And let us prepare to do our statement of faith first. And give me 1 second. 1 minute, please. All right. My apologies. Needed to go handle some business. Okay. So let us do our statement of faith. And we will pray in, and we'll jump into this precept. It's really dealing with, you know, us as a people, as the Most High has put it on my heart. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim. And is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a handcuff of praise today, for this is his day, his Shabbat, and this is a Shabbat that we won't see again. So let us honor him and let us glorify him in it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. We thank you for today, God. We glorify you, Father. We lift you up. We magnify your name. For truly you are worthy of all praise and all honor and all glory. You are majesty upon majesty. You are glory upon glory. Hallelujah. Your redemption is from everlasting to everlasting, Father. We just thank you for even considering us as part of your creation. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you today. We thank you for keeping us safe. We thank you for providing for us. We thank you for keeping us healthy. Hallelujah. We just want to glorify and lift you up today, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Yah. For truly, you and you alone shall we bow down to. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that we have done wickedly and that we are repenting from our wickedness, Father, and we're turning from our wicked ways. And we Our testimony will be to the world that we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us, but our testimony will be, this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, spirit of love, for you are love. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Let's go to the book of 1 Kings. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, and let us start in verse 46. If they, Israel, sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land, whether they were carried captives, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart, and with all their soul, in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, for all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people, Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen.
Thank you.
All right. Amen. 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 Our topic this evening, and I pray, Yah, that I pronounce this right, that this is where we seem to suffer. The topic is Anasunausa. Anasunausa. This is the inability to admit that you're sick, to admit that you have a mental illness. You know, one of the greatest problems to dealing with a people who are sick is getting them to admit that they are sick and have a problem. And so I have contemplated whether this is an issue brought on by the Most High as part of the curse of his people, because we know that our people practice spiritual whoredom with the Most High. Only you have I loved, but you went a whoring after other gods. And we know from our studies and previous precepts and discussions that the Most High caused this spirit to come upon his people. You want to play the whore with these other gods, and I will put this spirit upon you. As I go before the Most High and I am praying to him and I'm asking him, how do we get our people to see this, to understand that this spirit is upon us, and how do we cure ourselves? You know, we've talked about, hey, yeah, we got to practice abstinence as a people. You know, how do you repent of your whoredom? Stop whoring. I mean, it's kind of real simple. But in the natural sense, this has become so ingrained in us, and we have become so accepting in the world, you know, accepting the spirit of liberty. We're living in a country that is governed by the goddess liberty. And so this spirit is pervasive through the society. And when we look at our own people, you know, we got to understand that coming out of the slavery and this spirit being upon us, and then we're seeking and striving, trying to fit into a society that we're really not supposed to fit into. Think about that. We're trying to fit into a society of our captors. And they were never about being holy. They were never about being righteous. The way this country was set up, we have to understand that, you know, they sent the sick and the criminal first. And so the laws, we want to be equal to the King of England. We want to be sovereign like he is. But they never gave that sovereignty to Israel, never acknowledged Israel as being sovereign. I'm talking about the Hebrew Israelites, as being a sovereign entity. They looked at us as being three-fifths of a person to justify doing what was going to be done to us. And some of this was allowed by the Most High. And we know the scripture says, but they took it too far. But we have come out of that slavery and that captivity physically, spiritually. We are still suffering from the curses, because the curses weren't put on us by our captors. The curses were put on us by the Most High Elohim, and he's the only one that can remove them. The first thing that we have to do is admit that we're sick, that we got a problem, that we suffer spirit of whoredom that the Most High said he would cause to put on us. Now, in trying to deal with us as a people, you know, I always ask the Most High, how do I present this? What do I have to say? You know, and I've told people, hey, I'm not going to play with this. I'm not going to try to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to try to tickle your ears, make you feel good about it. Because tough love, everybody's not going to hear this, and I understand that. But whosoever will, let them hear. what the Spirit says unto the churches. We, his people, we have this spirituality about us. We have this zeal about us. But as I'm finding out, not according to knowledge. You know, and the truth of the matter is, when you're sick and you don't know you're sick, you don't know that it's a sickness, that's a problem within itself. You know, it's just like when you tell somebody that they are a Hebrew Israelite and you say you're cursed. And their first reaction is, I'm not cursed. I'm in Christ. I'm not cursed. But as a people, and so this sickness of not being able to admit that we're sick is a very big problem. And, you know, I need to know from the Most High, because, you know, science will classify all kind of illnesses, all kind of spiritual possessions, spiritual illnesses, people being filled with unclean spirits, filled with demons. They'll classify it as some medical problem, and it's not always the case, especially when it's dealing with mental illness. Sometimes we're just dealing with some unclean spirits. And they will classify them as something else. But we have to know as a spiritual people, and we have to know that being involved with the Most High Elohim, that our problem is spiritual. It's going to affect us mentally. It's going to affect us physically. But the root problem is spiritual. And when we can't admit that we have a spiritual problem, a spiritual sickness, that we are sin sick, when we can't look at, you know, when you can't look at the physical evidence and properly and rightfully discern it for what it is, if you're too afraid of hurting people's feelings, if you do see it, then there's a problem. Suppose you went to the doctor, your chest is hurting, and the doctor can clearly see there's something wrong with your heart. But he don't want to offend you, so he tells you there's nothing wrong. Take a couple of aspirin, go home, and you'll be all right. And you go home and you kill over because he didn't want to offend you. He didn't want to tell you the truth because it might upset you. We have one aim in this ministry and one aim only, and that's to get into the kingdom, period. And whatever the Most High says is wrong with us, if he tells us through his word, if he reveals it to us, we have to be willing to accept that. But sometimes, let us go to 2 Thessalonians real quick. The book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. We're going to get verses 11 and 12. And then we're going to come back to Romans chapter 1. The book of 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2. Let's get verses 11 and 12. Well, actually, let's get starting verse 10. Because this is the way the enemy is going to come. This is a place that I see our people in even today. And with all deceivableness and of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. This is who Satan is looking for. This is who the enemy is looking for in the world and in Israel in particular. Those that don't love the truth. They'd rather hear anything else but the truth. What does Yah say about that? Who received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, Elohim shall send them a strong delusion that they should not believe, that they should believe a lie, that they might all, that they, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, I'm going to ask each and every person, I want you to consider this. When we are thinking about our people and we really consider our dilemma, the state of our family, the state of our women, the state of the men, as I've always said, and I will continue to say this, there are no absolutes. So if this doesn't apply to you, it doesn't apply to you. But I guarantee you it applies to most of us. So if this is not about you, don't worry about it. Because I never speak in absolutes. Because there's always exceptions to everything. Somebody that is doing what Yah says to do. Somebody who is walking upright before him. Somebody who's keeping their legs closed or their organ in their pants. Ain't trying to sleep with everything. Somebody that understands and fears the Most High. So there's no absolutes. So if this doesn't apply to you, don't worry about it. But to those who it does apply to, when you consider the dilemma that our people are in, does it make you wonder? Does it make you think about just how bad a shape we're in? Does it make you sad for us? Does it upset you? Do you look in the mirror and say, forgive me, Most High? Do you see yourself in it? See, because the first thing to wellness is admitting that you got the problem. Being able to say to yourself, it's me, Yah, standing in the need of prayer. It's me that is broken. And going before Yah, because as I said, man cannot fix this. The only man that can fix this is you and Yah. Every person has to go before the Most High and recognize and acknowledge that I am sick, or I was sick, and I had this problem. Because this, I'm finding, is one of the hardest things that our people are having to deal with. You know, when you don't know what has you sick, you may know you're sick, but don't know why you're sick. You can't get the proper treatment. You can treat the symptoms, but you can't treat the root cause until you're ready to admit, mentally, I'm sick. I have been beat up by this world. I came into this world into a dysfunctional family. They were dysfunctional. Their parents were dysfunctional. All the way back, even before we went into slavery, if we want to be true about it, if we want to be real about it, we can't even really 100% blame slavery for this. The reason why we went into slavery, we were already this way. But now that we are out of slavery and we have the freedom, hear what I'm saying, we have the freedom to get better, to do better, and we choose not to. We choose not to admit that we got a problem. We want to say, oh, we're just human. Everybody sins. And that it was supposed to be when you were carnal. That's all you knew to do. Before we met the Most High and we were in the world, We know how we were. Again, I'm not talking to everybody. Only to those of us who were running around chasing skirts, and to those skirts that were bending over and opening up to us, who took pleasure in everybody that was seeking pleasure and talked about it in such a way to brag about it, not understanding that we were sick. But we couldn't really see it because that was our nature. We were carnal, driven by the lust of our flesh, driven by our culture, driven by the spirit that the Most High put upon us. And then Yah allowed you to see that you were a sinner and that you were in transgression of his law. And most of us, we came up through the churches that way. I'm a sinner. Didn't even know who we were as a people. Didn't even matter at the time. But then Yah decides that he's going to wake us up as a people. He's going to wake you up as a Hebrew Israelite, let you know who you are. And we are so anxious to have a history that our history didn't start in slavery. And we grab hold of this Hebrew Israelite thing like God's gift to the world, only to find out that our forefathers did some very wicked things concerning the Most High Elohim. And then we got to come to grasp with that. We're the people of the book, but it ain't really something that we should be proud of. I mean, not when you consider what our forefathers did to the Most High Elohim, how they came into a covenant relationship with him, a marriage covenant, and then cheated continuously. And when we find that out, because we got this cheating nature within us, it's normal for us to try to sleep with as many women as we can. Not everybody, as I said, there's no absolutes. But as a whole, as a people, this is normal. So when we see it about us concerning the Most High, it's almost like it don't even faze us. Because that spirit that is within us, because of what we've been doing in the natural, when the Most High accuses us of whoredom, it don't even really faze us. We just read right over. And instead of being torn up about it, instead of being deathly afraid, instead of understanding the Most High's grievance with us, we want to look at our situation and want to blame everybody else. It's Esau's fault. It's the white man's fault. It's the world's fault. Everybody's fault but our own. And so when the Most High showed me in Ezekiel, I mean, just as plain as I'm looking at the Bible right now, that he put this upon us. He caused what we did in the spiritual to manifest in the physical. And then he says, I would put a strong delusion on you, that you should believe a lie. You know, I pray right now, Most High Elohim, I appeal to your mercy. I appeal to your spirit of repentance. Any of us should be covered by this strong delusion, that you would remove it from us, that we might have an opportunity to repent before you and to see how sick we are, that we might attack the root cause, that we might not look at the symptoms that we suffer, being in poverty, being low man on the totem pole, not accepted by most nations of the world. They look at us like, you are cursed people. And they want to treat us as such. Again, not all. And the first problem we have is admitting that we got the problem. You know, some of us can admit we're cursed. But as soon as we mention this spirit of whoredom, a lot of women get offended because they think it's directed at them solely. But this is a people problem. This is a Hebrew Israelite problem, spirit of whoredom. And when you brag about how many people you sleep with, when you brag about how many men you have had, when you take pleasure in other people that do those things, you got to know that you are still blind. You are still in darkness, and you are in need of deliverance. When we as a people can't understand that this spirit of fornication, sex without marriage, the spirit of lust and lasciviousness, anything and everything, this spirit of being hooked on pornography, it's just to be expected, because think about the spirit that's on you. The spirit of lasciviousness. You're going to be wanting to feed that spirit. And if you can't feed it through the one you're with, you're going to find a way to feed it. And the internet provides that way. And the world will provide as many people as you want to go along with you. I don't care if they're your own or whether they are of the other nation, because they are just as infected with the spirit as well. But I want to deal with the priesthood, that you might get back on your job, that you might do the work that the Most High has called us as a people to do. And he has already said, I'm not saving you all, only a remnant of you. But to the remnant I speak. I don't expect everybody to hear these messages and to gravitate and hold on to them and to understand that I love you as my brother and sister, but I have to be on Yah's side. I have to do what he tells me to do. I was in that spirit for many years. Yah had to deliver me out of it and still didn't let me see what he was delivering me out of. Just took it from me to do those things. But now that he's saying, go to my people, he's showing me, this is the problem. Tell my people, this is the problem. And many of us don't want to admit, can't admit, that we have a problem. Many of us don't want to look at our past and own up to it. You know, it's hard to talk to your children about not sleeping around when they look at your life and say, well, who are you talking about? Who are you to tell anybody anything? How did I get here? Were you married when you had me? Were you married when you even conceived me? It's hard to talk to them. It makes them callous. You know, we don't want to be responsible for our past, but we are responsible for our past. The Most High may have forgiven us. That don't mean that our children have. That don't mean that they are able to hear us so that we can try to keep them out of the same trap that we fell into. It's hard to even tell a young person today, you shouldn't be sleeping around. It's not what they know. And so if we're going to deal with this from the standpoint of our people, we have to find ways to help them to see. And as much as y'all wants us to help them to see, as I said, everybody ain't going to be saved. But to help them to see so that we don't continue to produce generations of whoremongers and whores. That we might present a generation to the Most High Elohim that is without spot. We know when we come to Messiah, that when we come to him and we go down in that water in his blood, we are clean from everything, from all our past, from that moment backwards, and that we are responsible for everything that we do that moment forward. And we don't want to approach or come to him up under the delusion that I'm only human, so I'll make an excuse to do something wrong, and I did it because I'm only human. Flesh and blood, a man. The Most High said, I had mercy on you because I knew that already. But I'm calling you to be something better. I'm calling you that you might walk before me upright and righteous and holy and peaceful, that you might be able to help the world out of the situation that it's in. But how are you going to help the world out of anything if you yourself are sick and cannot admit it, unable to make a change, unable to address the root cause of your spiritual sickness? So it doesn't take a whole lot. All we got to do is look at the numbers. Just look at our own lives. Look at our children. Look at our parents. We may not want to call a spade because we just don't want to look at ourselves and see ourselves that way. But that is to not admit. That is to have this sickness that we're talking about tonight, the inability to admit that we got a problem. You know, so from the spirit of love and the spirit of meekness, for genuine concern for my brothers and my sisters, Yah has allowed me to see it. And he has allowed me to tell you. I pray that each and every one of us, like I said, if I'm not talking to you, I'm not talking to you. But I know in this world, amongst our people, it is rare to run into a woman that is 18 years old and a virgin, much less 30 years old and a virgin. It is rare amongst our people to run into a man that is 15 or 16 years old and not still a virgin. And we have extremes on either side. And I know that this is the norm. So how do we get our people to see and to admit that we got this problem? It's bewildering to me, because it would appear that we really don't love truth, and it would appear that we really don't want to get right with the Most High Elohim. We'd rather be right with the nation. We'd rather fit in with our captors. We'd rather worry about what people are going to say if we try to unite, if we try to come together. We'd rather find a reason not to. You know, it befuddles me to have people that read the word all the time and so many things be hidden. It really does befuddle me. As an individual, you read these scriptures, but if we are looking at them through the eyes of a delusion, then it makes all perfect sense. How are you going to see something that the Most High has intentionally blinded you to? So I pray with sincerity that Yah removes the spirit of delusion from our people so that we can admit that we have a problem, so that we can have a chance to get better, so that we can have a chance to heal, that we might fulfill the calling that the Most High has in our lives, period. A peculiar nation, a nation of kings and priests, a peculiar people. And that word peculiar means most special, a very special people, like the most precious of precious, precious. The Most High valued us so high. And he has that reserved for some of us. As I said, everybody's not going to be able to hear this. Everybody's not going to have the blinders taken off. Everybody's not going to be able to admit that they're suffering from this spirit. And as the Most High has shown me, if we can come from under this, if we can be strong for him, for ourselves, all these other issues that we suffer, brought on by the world, brought on by ourselves, all these issues that we suffer, they will heal themselves, because this is the root problem. Every other thing is a symptom of this. We don't want to come together as a people. And we'll actively preach and teach against it. Why would that be? Why would we as a people not want to come together in community where the community is keeping the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. The community is keeping the feast days. The community is policing itself. The community is seen after the welfare of the community that would want to not do those things. Is it the spirit of fear? Is it the spirit of apathy? Is it the spirit of, I don't trust you? Do we not believe anything that is in the scripture? Do we not believe when Messiah says, come together, be of one mind? So I'm looking at this next spirit because I know what the root spirit is, but we know that these spirits don't come by themselves. And we have been infected so long, we could be like that wild man when Messiah came across the ocean, and he met the man filled with the legion, 2,000 spirits, that might be us as a people. I pray it's not, but it could be us as a people. We could be so infected that the Most High is going to have to intervene, and he's going to have to intervene anyway, but he's going to really have to intervene. We need the authority to talk to these spirits like Messiah talked to those 2,000 spirits and to command them where to go and understand that we have the authority to command them. And that's part of the problem as well. We don't believe we have the authority. And many of us are running around, I'm going to say it, many of us are running around and probably should not be addressing these things because we're running around without the Ruach HaKodesh. Just running around claiming to be a Hebrew Israelite. No Holy Spirit, no Ruach at all. And we'll be like the sons of Sceva trying to address these spirits, and those spirits will be saying, Paul I know, Jesus I know, but who are you? And get beat up. So I pray that we as a people step into the job that the Most High gave us out of faith. Step into the job. If your eyes have been opened and you can see what the root cause is, because we got some other spirits to deal with that are helping this spirit out. And one of them is, I can't believe it's me. I can't believe I'm sick. I'm not going to own that. Never mind, yeah, I got 3 kids in the house and they got 3 different daddies, but it ain't me. Never mind that I fathered 3 or 4 children by 3 or 4 different women, paying child support to one, it ain't me. And to those of us who don't have this issue, who have overcome this issue, who have been delivered from this issue, yeah, I want you to step into your ministry. Male or female. I don't want to hear this stuff by the brothers talking about a woman can do whatever Yah tells her to do. And if he has her ministering to women or to men, the men in the scriptures went to prophetess. We got to understand that we need all the help we can get as a people because we are in trouble. Serious trouble. And we do not want to do anything outside the word of the Most High. We don't want to become zealous and go running trying to do things that we're not prepared to do yet. But if we're not prepared to do them, we need to get prepared. Because this people, as we read in Romans chapter 1, this people be reprobate. And so we're dealing with a cancer level, a stage 4 cancer level event. That's how sick we are. We are close to death as a people and don't even know it. Running around like we ain't got a care in the world. All we got to do is make some money, get a big car with some big rims, try to get this mansion, try to get 10,000 likes on Facebook or TikTok or whatever, Instagram, whatever. All these things that are unimportant. And then we got those of us who are awake and really suffer from the spirit of apathy. Want to talk a good game, but don't want to do nothing. Don't want to help. Don't want to unite. Don't want to come together. Afraid, I'm thinking, there's a spirit of fear here. There's a spirit of fear. And Yah says, we shall fear nothing but him. No man, no spirit, no animal, nothing but him. But we got this fear of doing right. We got this fear of, maybe it's the fear of we might fail. Maybe that's the spirit that's prevalent here. We need to pray on that one. But I know this spirit that says, I can't admit that I got a problem. Or spirit that says, I'm not the problem. It's these other people that are the problem. These spirits need to be dealt with. We have to be able to see. We have to be able to show our people that we are sick. And this is the root cause. And as much as we don't want to admit it, you know, however we got into the situation that we're in it. And the only thing that we can do is stand up and walk right from the time that we understand where we are at. Walk upright in the power and in the strength of the Most High Elohim. He has to be our rock. He has to be our foundation. He has to be our reason. And the fear of him has to be foundational. Scriptures don't keep saying the same things over to us over and over and over again. The beginning of all wisdom. All wisdom. You don't know nothing until you know the fear of Yah. I don't care how many degrees you have. I don't care how many seminaries you've been to. I don't care how many people you have preached to, witnessed to. If you don't know and understand the foundation that the beginning of all wisdom is the fear of Elohim, everything else will be off. That's why we find the teachings that we find. We got people doing whatever they want to do. This is what I think. This is how I feel. What does Yah say about it? That should be how you feel. That should be how you think. What does Yah say about it? And until we can do that, we have a hard time reaching people. Until we can step into and believe that we are the children of Elohim and that Messiah said that greater works than these shall you do, until we can step into that, we won't be changing a whole lot of people. We won't be bringing a whole lot of people to truth because we're afraid ourselves to step into the role. Maybe we fear we might have to stop doing something that we're doing. Maybe we fear that we might have to be better than we are. Been there. Been through those feelings. I'm going to have to stop this. I'm going to have to stop that. Kept me from being filled with the Ruach for years because there were some things I didn't want to stop doing. But, yeah, and I thank Yah for still allowing me and giving me time. So I understand. But I'm here to tell you, it is much better to just do what Yah says to do. And don't worry about what you're going to have to give up because guess what? You ain't going to even miss it. You just think you're going to miss it. You ain't going to even miss it. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Our people have to admit. This is our state. Start in verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of Elohim, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son, Yeshua HaMashiach, our master, which, excuse me, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the son of Elohim with power, according to the spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name, among whom are you also the called of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of Elohim, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from Elohim our Father and from our Master Yeshua HaMashiach. First, I thank my Elohim through Yeshua for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout all, the whole world. For Elohim is my witness whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son, that without ceasing I may make mention of you always in my prayer, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of Elohim to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that you may be established. This is one of the things that very few of us want to do, is be established. Be established in the Most High. Be established as a people, as a community with a common goal, a common purpose. Paul is writing to the Romans and the saints that are at Romans who are called to be saints. Everybody in Rome was supposed to be saved. But to those that were called to be saints, he's writing to them that they might be established. You know, we're scattered all over the world. And even in the same states that we live in and in the same cities that we live in, we do not have community. We have community on Sabbath. But once we leave the camp or once we leave the church, we are back on our own again. And would dare another Hebrew to say something to us about our walk? Out here in the streets, fighting, shooting each other, just regularly showing our behinds. And telling the world that we belong to the Most High Elohim. And nobody holding one another accountable for nothing. And we're that way because we don't want to be held accountable. Who do you think you are? Are you without sin? Are you walking perfect? Instead of trying to walk perfect, we're trying to make reasons not to. Trying to find a way that we can't come together. How? Wait a minute. Let's take Messiah out of the mix for a minute. How does a people say that they are a people and they got nothing in common except for the color of their skin? And if you ain't got the same color skin, they don't want to say you don't belong. But let's not even go there. Let's just talk about people who have the same things in common. We keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. We keep the feast days. And that is as far as the relationship goes. That's as far as it goes. And the truth of the matter is, we would do more for a Gentile than we would do for our own people. Because that spirit of distrust has been baked into us. Can't do business together because we don't trust each other. If we can't do business together, how are we going to come together spiritually? Which is way more important. But we can't even do business together because of this distrust of one another. Or if it's not distrust, then we got this spirit of, I don't want to see you, you got this crab mentality. I don't want to see you get more than me. So let me prevent you or let me pull you back down. This is us as a people, to be real. And the truth of the matter is, most of us doing business would rather do business with the Gentile nations than to do business with our own people. And then the Gentile nations don't really want to do business with us. They got to feel like you're different. Oh, you're different. What do you mean? I've been told that. Oh, you're different. I found that highly offensive. What do you mean? Like, I don't act like the normal black person? What are you talking about? Well, you're different from them. Them. So we have to be able to come together as a people. And we're just, for whatever the reason, we are unable to do it. We don't even really relate to one another. As another example, it might cost me more to get supplies than it costs the Gentile to get supplies. So I might have to charge you more for the product that I'm serving or selling. The first thing you're looking at is I'm trying to get over on you. I'm trying to cheat you. I can get this cheaper down the street from this Gentile. And there's nothing wrong with, for my Gentile audience, I'm speaking to a spirit that is within the Hebrew people. Because all the other nations are doing business with themselves first. So there's some other spirits on us. That these spirits were put into us and baked into us as part of our slavery. And we have to deal with those spirits as well. But the first spirit we got to deal with is the spirit of hoarding. But we got issues all over the place. And because we can't come together as community, we can't get past a lot of these things. Fact. A dollar stays in our community one term. We get paid, and it goes out to another community, another race of people. And we're one of the very few races that does that. So I know we have many things to deal with. And so it's hard for us to come together as community. It's hard for us to even see the need to. We are comfortable where we are at. That's probably the truth of the matter right there. We are comfortable where we are at. This is what we know. This is what we're used to. And if you want to change is one of the hardest things to cause people to do. If you are a sinner, a ranked sinner, and you are still practicing sin, it's hard to stop you from sinning unless something happens that lets you know you're in trouble with the Most High Elohim. And you genuinely don't want to be in trouble with it. That might be enough to stop you from sinning. Might. So we as a people, fighting each other, coming up with all kind of reasons not to love one another, not to genuinely love one another. A new commandment I give you. See, I'm going to show you just how disobedient we are. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Somehow we read that and then it don't manifest. We can't come together and see each other's faults and help each other out. If we think one of us is going to do better than the other, we will try to hold that person back or we won't support them. And all of these things stemming from that reprobate mind and that spirit of whoredom. Some of us been in this truth for a minute. Some of us live in areas where we don't even know any other Hebrew Israelite. And the ones we know, we're trying to shun them because what they doing? Do you see how reprobate we are? Do you see how we lack the ability to do what the Most High tells us is to make us well? We have to admit we are sick. As a people, you might say, I ain't sick. Understand that you may not be sick, but we as a people, we are sick, and you have to deal with us. We have to consider, see, this is the problem. I ain't sick. But the Most High says, when one of you hurts, you all hurt. But we just can't seem to grow into that spirit. If my brother lacks, I lack. If I got an abundance and my brother lacks, I'm going to see to my brother's lack. We can't seem to get there. And all the other nations, you know, I hate to say it, but my Hispanic brothers and sisters, they will be 4 and 5 families deep in a house until they can afford to buy a house, help someone else buy a house. We as a people, we ain't doing nothing like that. Not even for our own blood family, much less another Hebrew brother or sister. All these things are coming from this one self-same spirit. So we have to get by the spirit of whoredom, because it's causing us to be reprobate. It's messing up our thinking our decision-making and everything that we're doing. And we're thinking, hey, as long as I'm making it on my own, I'm good. That's not how the Most High looks at it. He wants us to take care of one another. We are supposed to be of the same body. But we got some cancerous cells in the body. And those cancerous cells either have to be healed or cut out. There ain't no two ways about it. They either have to be healed or cut out. That's how you get rid of cancer. You either heal it or you cut it out. We have to be real with this thing. And we can't just be talking. The Most High says, I'm looking for not just sayers of the word, but doers of it. And most of our people are caught up in, oh, well, I keep the statutes, laws, and commandments. I'm good. I'm a doer of the word, but I ain't coming together. That's part of the word. I'm not going to see to the lack of my brothers. That's part of the word. I'm not going to be treating my sisters like whores and prostitutes. That's part of the word. I, as a man, I'm not going to be running around and trying to see what sisters I can get to come and live with me. That's part of the word. I'm not going to be seeking all, you know, every form of pleasure out there. Oh, I read that if you do this, it brings extreme pleasure. That's to please that spirit of lasciviousness. These are the things that we have to fight from and be delivered from. A lot of our sisters love to smoke weed because it increases their capacity for orgasm. Because that's what it's about for them. And the men that smoke it with them, they know that. We have to come out of that. If you do that with your husband, all fine and well. May Yah bless you. Problem is, most of us doing this stuff and we ain't even married. Reprobate. The spirit of lasciviousness and whoredom. And we take pleasure in these things. And then if we don't have a man, if we've come to the place where we say we don't need a man, then we got some stock in some type of battery company somewhere. And you know what I'm talking about. Some type of toy. Stemming from this spirit of lasciviousness, the spirit of pleasure. We have got to do better. We have to admit we got this problem. And nobody wants to really admit that they are sick. But you can't get better until you admit that you are sick. You can't get better until you admit that, oh, I substituted this pleasure for this one. Different outlet. And because we pander to those things, because we really just don't want to let them go. Well, I'll be without a man, but some women even prefer. I can go without a man as long as I got this. Being real. You just substituted one for another. But that same spirit is still there. So we got to understand this and admit We got a problem. And we can't get better until we admit it. And as I said before, I ain't talking to you unless I'm talking to you. Chances are I'm talking to somebody. Because, see, we got to understand, these drugs and even weed, those things open us up to other spirits. And we may not see them immediately, but they are there. And they weaken us against the Ruach HaKodesh. Do we believe? Do we believe? The scripture, when he says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Ruach? Do we believe that whatever we're doing, we're taking Yah with us? Do we even consider that? Or do we say, oh well, Yah's just going to have to see this? Do we really fear him? Or is this spirit has so strong a toehold that it won't even allow us to admit we got a problem? It makes us justify what we are doing. So we have to be honest. We have to have integrity. We have to say, I am sick. Yeah, it's me. And I've been doing the best that I can, but I need to do better. I will do better. Or are we going to be satisfied with where we're at? Let's go back to the reading. So the Most High wants us to be established. Can't be established if we're trying to be separate, if we have no trust for one another, if we have no natural love for one another, if we have a fear of each other. Verse 12, that is that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. If I got all the faith in the world and you got none, or you got all the faith and I got none, we in trouble. Some of my faith might leak onto you. Some of your faith might leak onto me. But the truth of the matter is, we're probably going to be in trouble. We're not going to be evenly yoked. One of us is still going to be doing some things we ought not be doing. And we might be, I don't want to use the word tolerant. We might be trying to help one another out of love, and so we tolerate, I can't get away from that word, tolerate the behavior of the other person. But sooner or later, we can't continue to walk together because whatever the spirit is that is leading the person that's got still got the problem, it's going to try to get on us, and we'll find ourselves things that we didn't have an issue with, suddenly we got an issue with them. Have you ever considered, especially for those of us who have mates, spouses that are not in the Word, that we know don't really have a genuine fear of the Most High, that they're doing things and that some spirits are on them, and when you sleep with them, do you know whether you're sleeping with your spouse or that spirit? Do you really know? Are you sleeping with your spouse, or are you sleeping with that spirit? We have to consider these things. because your husband, truthfully, or your spouse, your wife, your husband can't get you into the kingdom, especially if they're leading you down the path because they're caught up in their mess. And if you can't be strong enough for the both of you, then there's a problem. And to those of us who are in living arrangements where we know we're not married, but we living like we husband and wife, but we really ain't married, we got to come out of those situations too. Because we have to be the example. So either get married or terminate the relationship. Just going to put it where it's at. Cannot be living in sin, saying you belong to the Most High, because the living arrangement that you have chosen is outside of his will. It's outside of his word. And you're trying to justify yourself. You got a special circumstance different than anybody else who's living in sin. You have to ask yourself the question, why won't I marry this person, or why won't they marry me? And my relationship with the Most High has to come first. Because I can be in a relationship with you and end up in the lake. For whatever the reason. Typically, again, this root is the spirit of what? Whoredom. I don't sleep around with a lot of men. You don't have to sleep but with one man. According to the Most High standard, you don't have to sleep but with one man that ain't your husband. It's just like when a sinner sins for the first time, or they commit a sin and they say, I don't sin all the time, but you're still a sinner. No matter how much you sin, no matter what sin you committed, once you transgressed the law, you were a sinner. When it comes to this spirit of whoremongering and whoring, all you got to do is sleep with somebody one time that you're not married to. That is what you become. We got to face up to that. I'm not a whore. I don't sleep around. You just did. Because we want to say, oh, this is that woman that sleeps with a lot of different men. No. Not according to the Most High. That might be the label and the definition that the world puts to it. The Most High says, you do it once with somebody that you're not married to. This is what you are. This is who you are. And you have to repent of that and say, oh, I'm not doing that no more. Unless I'm married, you don't get none of this. Abstinence. Then the Most High might start to look at us. Like we really mean something. Because right now our lips are moving. And the Most High says, I see your lips moving, you're lying. How do you know? Because I see your lips moving. You keep telling me things, but you keep doing otherwise. That's why he said, you worship me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. So we have to abstain. Both males and females have to abstain. You ain't married to them. Don't be sleeping with them. Don't be living with them. Don't be cohabitating. Oh, we just friends. We just fell into the bed together. Oh, we got high and it just happened. Or we got drunk and it just happened. Because you put the opportunity there for it to happen. Verse 13, Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but I was let here and there. That's what hitherto means, here and there, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of Elohim unto salvation, the power of Elohim unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek or to the Gentile. For therein is the righteousness of Elohim revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of Elohim is revealed from heaven against all, underline that word, all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Let's talk about this for a minute. You know the truth. You read the gospel. You know the truth, and you hold the truth in unrighteousness because you continue to do unrighteousness. You continue to walk not according to the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. You continue to be in relationships that you know are not godly. You continue to do things because you're trying to want to please somebody, don't want to be alone, have gotten used to doing something, and you know that what you're about to do is unrighteous, but you still do it. You hold the truth in unrighteousness. We can't keep doing that. We have to come out of that. And coming out of it is first admitting that, yeah, I got a problem. Can't get better if you don't admit it. As long as you deny it, you keep making an excuse to do it. But understand that this is coming from that self-same spirit that has followed us out of slavery, has followed us through the curses, that was magnified by our slavery, the spirit of whoredom. Spiritual whoredom led us to physical whoredom, male and female alike. Let's continue. We don't want to hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of Elohim is manifest in them, for Elohim has showed it unto them. This is talking to his people. Read the word. Elohim shows you where he's at, how he feels about these things, what he's going to do about them. And we act like he didn't. But we know. And we'll say it. And still don't have enough fear or deterrent not to do it. That is reprobate. When you know what the penalty is, what the judgment is, and you still do it. That's reprobation. That's the inability to stop yourself. Verse 19 again, and I'll just read it. Because that which may be known of Elohim is manifest in them, for Elohim has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew Elohim, they glorified him not as Elohim, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Anytime we are used to doing wickedness, and we were used to doing wickedness, it became part of our nature. We're in slavery. We're forced to do whatever. We accept it as part of life. And rather than killing ourselves, we say, oh, we'll comply. So, yes, Master, I'll go in here and I'll sleep with this woman and I'll get her pregnant. And I know that you're going to move me to another farm. I ain't going to never have nothing to do with that child. And to the woman, oh, yes, I will sleep with this man and whoever you sit in here because I've accepted the situation. And rather than kill myself, I'll comply. Rather than transgress the laws of Elohim, I will comply. Both man and woman. So we are without excuse because we knew Elohim. Our forefathers knew Elohim. We had it within us. But because we had this hoish nature about us, that we would hoe on the Most High, and we were hoeing on our own people, men sleeping with women that weren't their wives, trying to seduce this virgin, having no intent to marry her, just get her in the bed. Let me just see if I can get some of that. Knowing the penalty without excuse. But we did it anyway. Let's continue. Because that when we knew Elohim, we glorified him not as Elohim, verse 21 again, neither were thankful, but became vain in our imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened, professing themselves to be wise. We the people of the book. Yah Elohim chose us. We got the statutes, laws, and commandments, and the oracles. Never mind, we don't keep them, but we got them. They became fools. Because the Most High said, this is your wisdom. That you keep the statutes, laws, and commandments, that you keep the oracles. But we didn't, so we became fools because we didn't keep them. Professing ourselves to be wise, we got the oracles of the Most High Elohim. We got the oracles that give life, and we didn't keep them. Stupid is that. But we wise. No, we're not. We became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible Elohim into the image made like unto corruptible man, into birds, into four-footed beasts, into creeping things. I realized when I read Ezekiel chapter 9, chapter 8 actually, actually starting in chapter 1, and the Most High takes Ezekiel on this trip, and he shows him the temple, and he says, now look, I'm going to go show you something. Look and see what they do. In the Most High's own temple, they are in there worshiping other things, creeping things, men, abominable things, the stars and the moon. In the Most High's temple, he's talking about Israel here. Thinking themselves to be wise, they became fools and turned the image of the Most High Elohim into that of a man. Who knows what man they were worshiping, what creeping things they were worshiping. But in his temple, that's like you coming home and finding your spouse. And you only got one spouse, and you finding them in the bed with somebody else. What would your reaction be? How do you think the Most High saw that? What? You got the nerve to be screwing around in my bed? Do we consider? This is what our forefathers were doing. Wherefore, Elohim also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts. See, these were things that were already in our forefathers' hearts. Let me have an orgy. You know what? I heard about those Gomorrans and those people from Sodom. You know, some of that stuff I heard don't sound half bad. Let me try that. It don't sound as bad, or they saw something and their curiosity was piqued and, yeah, let me go try that. It's in their hearts already. You know, ever since I was a kid, and I'm not talking about me personally, so when I say this, I'm saying this like the person who has this thought. I had an attraction for men, but I didn't want nobody to know it, and I didn't let it out. But then one day I let that thought consume me. Or, you know, I always sort of had an attraction for women. But I didn't really never act on it until one day I allowed that thought to consume me and I acted on it. Or, you know, I wouldn't be like them people at Sodom and Gomorrah. I saw a dog doing it. It turned me on, so I went and found a dog. Because people do this stuff. It's in their heart. And this is what the Most High said was guilty of our forefathers. This stuff was in them. It wasn't just Sodom and Gomorrah doing that stuff. Let's continue. Wherefore Elohim gave them over to the uncleanliness through their lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Let's just do it. That's our mentality today. Let's just do it. Find somebody we're attracted to. Let's just do it. And when that person has been exposed to doing certain things, now they want you to do it. Can we see where the Most High says that we were at and may still be at? This person got introduced to anal sex. Whether on their own or by force or by accident, however it happened. And now they want to do it with you. And because you want to please them or because you have this own, you've seen it, you heard about it, whatever, you want to try it too. Or you allow them to try it with you. But you know it wasn't natural. They knew it wasn't natural too. You changed the truth of Elohim into a lie, and worship and serve the creator more than the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, Elohim gave them up to vile affection, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was met. Somehow we got the spirit of the world today, and some of us might even say, you know what? What's so bad about that? The Most High says it ain't natural. It's not the way I created you. Women strapping up like they men, trying to use another woman like a man. Men becoming one with other men, like they with a woman. The Most High said it ain't natural. And he gave it over. So it don't matter what it turns you on. If you want to be holy, if you want to be close to the Most High, you have to let those vile natures go. It's like when you used to eat pork or used to eat shrimp. You liked it. But then when you found out that it was unclean and it was illegal, in the dietary laws, you let it go. But somehow you can't let go of being a butt bandit, a butt pirate. Somehow you can't let go of that lust at looking at other women and maybe wishing that you were them or whatever, whatever the turn on is. I do know this. You have to let the drugs go. That includes the weed. You have to let it go. It opens you to other spirits. It makes you amenable to other spirits. Just like alcohol will make you amenable, make you open to other spirits. It's not a sin to drink, but it's a sin when it controls us. It's a sin when we use it to make us feel some kind of way. It's a sin when we use it to give us bravery to do something that we know we're not supposed to be doing. Your man come to you, he want to do something to you, you know it's not right. But you say, you get me drunk first, then you can do what you want to do. Truth of the matter is, you really wanted to do it. You used the excuse to be drunk to do it. The Most High says he turned us over to that. That this would be consuming us as a people. And we have to admit. We have to be able to admit. We got the problem. We brought some things into our marriages that we know don't belong in marriage. But we justify it by saying the marriage bed is undefiled. And I'm not getting your bedroom. Whatever you're doing in there, that's between you and Yah. I'm just telling you. You yourself know. But you still do it. Male and female. And because we like it, we have a hard time admitting that it's wrong and letting go of it. But let it be something that we don't do and we find out somebody else is doing. How horrible. How can they do that? But don't look at ourselves. Justify ourselves. Why? All again out of this spirit of whoredom. We take this root in pleasure. And we all about pleasing ourselves. Having somebody else to please us or pleasing ourselves. As I said, some of us will say, I don't need a man or I don't need a woman. And be doing ourselves more than any man or woman ever would. Yeah, I'm gonna be like that. I'm going to keep it real. Because it is a problem. And we got to understand that we have to come from under that spirit. We have to admit that we have the problem. And we can't seem to do that. So we have another illness. Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain Elohim in their knowledge, Elohim gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things that are not convenient. Understand, each and every one of us, if we are suffering from any of these things, we are reprobate. And we have to admit that we are reprobate. Most High, I can't help myself. I'm reprobate in this area. I need your help. I need deliverance. I need you to help me in this thing. You say that you are strong when I am weak. I am weak in this area. and I need your help. I have the problem. We have to be able to admit that if it's us. Like I said, I may not be talking to you. But if I'm talking to you, I'm talking to you. And it's not me talking to you. We can't justify ourselves in our dirt trying to look at somebody else and saying, oh, we're better than them when we're still suffering from the same spirit. And don't want to admit that, oh, my actions are from the spirit too. So wherever you are at, under the sound of my voice, let's bow our head. Yah Elohim. If you have placed the spirit of delusion on anyone that is under the sound of my ears, Father, I pray right now that you would release that spirit, that you would command it to depart from whomever that it is on, that they might see the truth, and that they might be able to look at themselves in the mirror and say, my Elohim, it's me. I'm that whoremonger. I'm that whore. I'm the one walking outside your will. I have become perverse in my thoughts. I have become reprobate. By myself, I have not been able to walk away from this thing. I have not been able to see myself. Help me. Help us, Yah. We be thy people. I pray the prayer of Solomon, that no matter where we may be in our captivity, whether it be near or far, that whatever your people Israel, whatever we incline and pray to you for, Father, that you would hear our prayer and that you would answer them. And that you would remove this curse from your people. Put it far from us, Father, as a people, that we might come to you, that we might become and be that which you have ordained us to be, your priest, those that minister unto you and unto man. Forgive us, time forward, Father. We will not knowingly commit spiritual whoredom or physical whoredom, male or female. If we are in proper relationships, Father, let us fix those relationships that we might walk before you upright. Give us a heart to be willing to do whatever it takes to be right with you, Father. If we got to walk away from a relationship, give us the strength to be able to do it. Whatever it takes, yeah, we just want to be right with you. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen, amen.
We gotta get ready for the battle. So call on your brothers and sisters. We gotta turn back to the scriptures. Stop making it all about you. Them preachers, they gotta confuse. Come out of her. Cause Yahuwah is our deliverer. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Cause nobody's perfect. We're called by his name. We're called by his name. Seek him to be worthy. We should be coming together. There's power and unity. It's time to come into the order. Cause we are a living prophecy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat. Lace up them boots. We gotta move, step mode, put on camouflage. We gotta be wise. Open your eyes to the Most High in the sky. We must stop arguing, it's irrelevant. We must live in the Torah, it's 7:10. He will put it in your heart, fulfilling the word of the new covenant. Don't be ashamed, don't be ashamed, cause nobody's perfect. We're called by his name, we're called by his name. Seek him to be worthy. We should be coming together. There's power and unity. It's time to come into the order, cause we are a living prophecy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat.
All right, on tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock Central Standard Time, we will be doing spiritual wellness. I want to deal with the spirit of fear, because we have to understand that if we walk in fear, then we're not walking in the Most High Elohim. Only thing we're supposed to fear is him. So we need to look at what is driving this spirit of fear in us. Are we fearful that people are not going to like us? Are we fearful that people are going to call us a cult or what crazy? You're a Bible thumper. Are we fearing that people are going to call us holy or sanctified? Is that our fear? We need to get to the root of it. Whatever it is, and for each person it can be different, but we want to deal with this spirit of fear. Because Yah says, you shall not fear them, only him. So whatever them is, we ain't to fear it. We will be dealing with that tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. Remember, I love you, but Yah Elohim loves you more. Shalom, family.
sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp, clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time, push a buck. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient, hanging with the Mishmakah, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't?